Make the most out of your daily commute or next road trip in a new Audi from Audi Atlanta. And what better way to do it than behind the wheel of a stylish Audi A5 Sportback? Hey, it's Finn, along with my friends at Audi Atlanta, here to introduce this city to the Audi A5 Sportback. With a versatile and athletic design, the beauty lies within, combining the sleekness of a coupe with the practicality of a four-door hatchback. And right now, you can lease the Audi A5 Sportback for $537 per month. Find yours at AudiAtlanta.com. And use the Jim Ellis Expressway to start or complete your entire purchase online, or shop in person on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Experience the thrill of driving like never before at Audi Atlanta. Offer applies to a 36-month lease, 2024 Audi A5 Sportback 40, $537 per month, 10,000 miles per year, with $4,731 due at signing. Example stock number A25954, MSRP $49,905, excludes tax, tag, and title fees. Offer expires 5/31/24 with approved credit.
If you're in downtown Alpharetta, go see my friends Travis and Andy at Turinga. They're located in City Center. And if you're going anywhere for spring break, summer break, or fall break, go see the sister restaurant Turinga at Grayton Beach across from the world-famous Red Bar.
This is the Ben Burnett Show, the only show in America that features a one-term has-been retired politician that nobody knows.
Welcome into the Ben Burnett Show. My name is Ben Burnett. My guest today is Jared Thomas, a partner at Garst Thomas Public Affairs. While some of you may not recognize that name right off the bat, he is one of the cornerstone pieces of Brian Kemp's political legacy. Is that too kind?
I definitely think that is too kind.
Well, maybe it's a little kind and maybe it's not, but I want to say thanks for coming in today, man.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
I love to showcase people who live, when I casually talk about it, I say the underbelly of Georgia politics, but that sounds a little dirty.
Oh, sure.
But I know that that's not meant to it's not meant to be there. Well, tell us real quick, Jared, like, what do you do today?
What I do today, I am a multi-client contract lobbyist. So I represent different corporations at the Capitol in the state of Georgia through legislation, through procurement, through regulation. It is paid advocacy for those groups. It suits me well because I am a little ADD. I like to have a lot of different things to focus on. So if I get frustrated with healthcare, I can work on telecom for a little bit, or I can work on technology for a little bit. So any given day doesn't look like the day before. I get to do a lot of different things with, different subject matter and different branches of the government. So it's a great fit.
What first piqued your interest in public service? And talk about your education and your background.
I grew up in Alpharetta, Georgia.
I did know that.
Yeah. So moved there in 1986 when I was 7 years old. And I remember the realtor showing us houses, and there were chickens running around in the backyard of most of them. It didn't look like Alpharetta right now. Went to Greater Atlanta Christian School for high school.
Go Spartans.
Yeah, go Spartans. Went to the University of Georgia. During that period of time, was real involved in the College Republicans. And that's the first time that I got involved, kind of heavily in politics. It had always been an interest of mine since childhood. I'd done some volunteer opportunities. Newt was our congressman back then when he was speaker. That was exciting. Guy Milner's, his many campaigns, helped out with those. But once I got to UGA, there was really a way to get involved. That's how I met Brian Kemp, who was just a young guy, early 30s, had, worked his tail off since he graduated from UGA.
He's full of piss and vinegar.
And you know what? It was one of these guys who, he'd worked in development. He'd been a home builder and then taken on some bigger projects. He'd gotten involved in local government, everything from like the wastewater treatment, committee with Athens-Clarke County, things like that, and saw that, you know, through getting involved, you can make things a little better, especially for small business, that you've got to have skin in the game. You can't just watch TV and yell at it, that you got to get in here, you know, talk to people who may not always agree with you, and you can make things a little bit better. During that period, you know, back in 2000, there was a guy who'd represented Athens in the state Senate for almost 30 years. His name was Paul Brown,
which is a household name in the state of Georgia.
Yeah, his son has more recently served in Congress and was one of the more colorful characters in Georgia politics.
Maybe in the history.
But there was a guy who won in 2000. You know, his name was Doug Haynes. He was a lefto lawyer, and I think if Doug was here, he'd say, yes, I am a proud lefto lawyer, went to Atlanta and really rubbed a lot of people the wrong way in the district. You know, guys like, you know, Governor Kemp, who'd lived there forever, was raised there, was raising his family, and just said, look, this guy, it's not that I disagree with him on everything, which he pretty much did. It was the way he went about business was just not something he was comfortable with. And, you know, after talking with his wife about it, he decided to, you know, run for state Senate. And I met him at a college Republican meeting early in 2001 when he was kind of kicking the tires on it, and was fortunate enough to get to work with him in that first campaign. That was November of 2002. And he won in a very heated race. He won by 486 votes.
He seems to attract a lot of those.
Yeah, that's the thing. That where people say that.
And he's relatively mild mannered.
He is. He absolutely is. He's not a flamethrower. He's never been one of those guys who's just gonna, you know, light his hair on fire and run down the.
But
the
every
hall.
2 or 4 years, that guy gets drug in the ditch and he's ready to go.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I got a chance to work with him on that first one. That was great. That was a huge year in politics in Georgia. Period. You know, Sonny won governor. We took over the state Senate when he was a freshman. He wasn't expecting to go there and be able to serve in the majority, but he did. And during that period of time, I, you know, from my Alpharetta background, was close with Tom Price, who was elevated to the majority leader. And I actually worked with him in the majority leader's office that first legislative session in 2003 as his aide.
He is the best storyteller I know.
He really is. He's great. Great with that. And it's something that, you know, that's not something that came naturally to him about 20 years ago. He has a lot more stories now, if that makes sense. And he's, you know, he's great at sharing those. So
I, if you look and you see how things in the metro area, and I know you live in Atlanta, you live in Buckhead.
I do.
And you look around the metro area, it's like this diamond that has shifted away in some ways from, I wouldn't say conservative ideology, because when you look at the local municipalities, they're all conservatively governed. They fight about rich people's stuff. But when you look at the people that have scale, Tom Price is probably pound for pound the best person I can think of to represent Metro Atlanta, because he was results oriented and he learned that in the General Assembly.
Well, you know, I think that one thing about Tom,
and it's missing a little bit today.
Yeah, a lot of it's missing. You know, he did not grow up here. You know, he grew up in Michigan. He went to you know, medical school and undergrad at the University of Michigan. What got him to Georgia was Emory, that he did his residency here. And, you know, his time in Metro Atlanta decided, I love it here. You know, he started a independent orthopedic practice in Roswell, Georgia. And stayed forever. And, you know, he was fortunate enough to do well enough in business that he could offer himself up for public service. So in 1996, during the Olympics in Georgia, he had a runoff for his state Senate seat, won that. 1997, got there, you know, didn't like being in the minority. And he and Eric Johnson, who was the minority leader at the time from Savannah, said, let's take this thing over. Let's put a plan together. It took them 6 years, but they did. And then during that time, when he was, you know, majority leader in the fancy office, finally getting to, you know, put a real imprint, thumbprint on the things he wanted to do in state government, the congressional seats opens up because Johnny decides he's running for U.S. Senate because Zell said he wasn't.
That's another results-oriented band.
And that's the thing. We've had great representation in that district for a long time, you know, until more recently. But I think that you know, he knew that Congress was a great opportunity, and that if he didn't go for it now, that it was going to be 10 more years before it was open again. So I got to work with him on that that campaign, and then briefly, only made it about 9 months working with him.
When you
with the official campaign, or official office.
When you make the switch, and is that at that point, State Senator Brian Kemp has, you know, decides to, you know, look at running for Secretary of State. You were intimately involved as one of his core allies, to the tune that at some point during that tenure, as he is the Secretary of State, he hires you to be the Chief of Staff.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about what, talk about the differences that you see from running a race in Oconee County or, you know, Athens, Clark County, and then being able to take a message statewide, and then being on the internal side of the everyday conversations. Because I imagine, as you guys are great friends, I also know that if you don't have a healthy discourse with your chief of staff from time to time, you know, that's where the trust is built, because everybody has everybody's best interest at heart. Talk about what really interested you in that role, and were you ready to do it?
Well, you know, I'll tell you this, that, you know, before he ran for Secretary of State, he ran for Ag Commissioner and was not successful in that primary. You know, Gary Black ultimately, you know, took that nomination, and it still took him 4 more years before he won the office.
But it gave him some really good name identification in other parts of the state, and they knew he was competent.
And he also knew what a statewide campaign looks like.
Correct.
So when he decided to run for Secretary of State, you know, he's got a— you know, one thing that I'll say about, you know, Governor Kemp, he talks to so many people and actively solicits so many opinions. He's not one of these people that just surrounds himself by sycophants. It is definitely competing, you know, opinions that he seeks out, you know, strong personalities, different parts of the state, you know, 159 different counties. And when he decided to run for that, you know, it was a very interesting time. You know, Republicans had kind of settled into government. You know, Sonny was coming to the end of his, you know, first 8 years. You know, him running for that office, you know, was a big risk, because it's, you know, there were a lot of other good people in it. You know, he got a good break where he, you know, during that
everybody
was appointed. But, you know, I think we all look at it the long game here. There have been plenty of times that you think, gosh, what did Kemp do to deserve X, Y, or Z? Well, you know, the tough stuff happens to you, but sometimes the good stuff does. And then he won it in his own right twice after that. But, you know, with the chief of staff job with him, you know, I came in after talking with him. You know, he had had a couple of years with a lot of folks that were from the prior administration with Karen Handel. He was trying to get some of his own people in there. And what I originally came in to do was communications. So I was his press secretary, and it's, you know, was a different style he wanted to bring to it. He wanted to bring a little less informal. He wanted to be a little more accessible, if that makes sense. We kind of, you know, worked on that for about a year. We had some success, you know, and then I moved into that chief of staff position. But it was only for about a year and a half that I did that formally. And, you know, I'll be the first to say, that wasn't the greatest fit for me, if that makes sense.
No, sure.
I like, you know, like I said, the job I have now, where I'm kind of on different issues all the time, suits me best. It was, you know, I'm proud of the work that we did there during that period. I'm proud of those election cycles. But, you know, when I kind of transitioned out of that job and into you know, kind of the private sector to try things for a few years. You know, I was fortunate enough to run John Kasich's Super PAC back in 2016 in Georgia. Just some opportunities like that. But, you know, the relationship that I had with, you know, Governor Kemp and his family, you know, that goes back a long way. So we were definitely, you know, you may not be in the office with somebody.
You're still friendly.
Still on the team. It's one of those things where, you know, as far as the way that he kind of makes decisions and solicits opinions, I'm lucky enough to still be one of those people, you know, during that period of time that that was talking to him. And soon enough, it made sense for me to come back to the office in a more informal role where I could, you know, do some of the good things that that I bring to it. But also some of the things I struggle with, like, you know, being the direct report for, you know, a lot of people.
A bunch of staff people.
Managing HR, yeah, being in those budget meetings that I don't exactly shine in. So,
well, when you make the decision to leave and you take those relationships with you, did you know that you wanted to get into procurement, government relations, or did you have to evaluate that in some way, shape, or form? How thought out was that process when you decide to exit the official team? I just used air quotes on a podcast.
Oh, sure. It was very thought out because, you know, I don't have any other Brian Kemps, if that makes sense. I don't have any other guys that I was working with, you know, 20 years ago who are in the position are right now. And
It starves most of them to death and they go back into the private sector.
Yeah, absolutely. So
if you're doing it right.
You know, I was working in the Secretary of State's office during that campaign. I was not on the campaign side. I was on the official side, and it was hard. It was, you know, there were less and less people as people were kind of moving over. We had a huge amount of responsibility because, you know, that is a non-political office
at all
in the function. And that was the way that, you know, from the top with the secretary on down, the way that we were instructed to do our job every single day. And it almost felt like, you know, that you know, if we mess something up, then we were going to, you know, mess it up for the campaign side, and that we just needed to keep our head down and push forward. And it was a, you know, a high stress environment just because of the, you know, the spotlight that was on us.
Yeah.
But I'm very proud of the work that we did during that 2018 election cycle.
Well, and talk about Garst Thomas. How did you guys get started? Who are some of your clients today? What do you really enjoy about what you're doing now? And is it the you for the rest of your tenure in public service? Is this what you think it's going to be?
Yeah, I do. You know,
it only took you 25 years to find yourself.
And that that's it. But you had to decide during that time. You know, the bigger thing, we all do this, you know, for our families. You know, I've got two kids. I've got twins that are almost 10 years old. They're in the fourth grade. My wife and I have been married for almost 15 years. And, you know, I was almost 40 when, you know, that cycle was ending. And I decided, you know, I have been in, you know, the public realm in state government for a long, long time. And I have a lot of understanding of, you know, the way it works and a lot of legislative relationships. And that, you know, obviously with the new administration coming in, having a better understanding of the new folks, that this was the time to do that if I was going to do that. I talked with some firms that were larger, if that makes sense. You know, Cynthia, my partner, Cynthia Garst, she and I had been friends for 20 years. I first met her in 2003 when she was a contract lobbyist. You know, back when I was working in the state Senate. And, you know, there's a trust that was already there.
Yeah, you knew she wasn't going to lie to you.
Yeah. And it was just, you know, that, you know, we can do this together. And I'll tell you that, you know, working with some large organizations, our conflict committee is two folks. Our compensation committee is two folks. You know, it's just not this bureaucracy that we have to go through. I don't have some lawyer out in California who's like, oh, well, I represent X, Y, and Z, you know, out here on a legal matter. So, you know, I get part of this origination fee. Just all that stuff nauseates me. And we're able to, you know.
Hey, do you want to do this?
Yeah.
And sure.
She had talked to me about it, you know, for a while saying, hey, there's an opportunity here. And, you know, gosh, you know, about 6 weeks later, it was just like, okay, this is the way to go. And then the kind of wild card, yeah, this is on a personal end. I had, you know, it's called an AVM, a brain rupture in October of 2018.
Wow.
Stroke would be, you know, not the perfect way to put it, but close enough. I was out of the game for about 6 weeks. I forgot how to speak. And had to go through
physical therapy and occupational therapy.
The whole nine yards. And then, I was one of the lucky ones. I didn't know until after Thanksgiving of that election year that, I got the all clear that they weren't going to have to go in, if that makes sense, that it had resolved itself, if that makes sense. So I had a big health issue on top of it, and just felt that this is what I need to be doing right now. So
I, the best thing about hosting your own podcast is that you get to do whatever you want to do. And so I met you through your father, who mm-hmm. was the city attorney in Alpharetta, who to this day, I loved the man's politics. I loved his the way he looked at issues and the things that he would do on behalf of seven elected officials, or the things we asked him to go defend in court, and he never lost. And when you did something, he told me one time, it's probably my favorite story, is that he was like, "Are you this big of a pain in the ass everywhere you go?" And I was like, "Yes."
That sounds like something he would say. That's for sure.
And I, there are not a lot of people that I have to imagine that, knowing that he sat at City Hall in Alpharetta every Monday night for what had to be three decades.
Oh yeah,
had to have some sort of dinner table influence on what you guys talked about and what formed and shaped you. And I tell you, regardless of where I go next in public service, one of the questions I ask myself all the time, and I miss this 100% genuinely, is like, "Hey Sam, what do you think? Like, not how do you keep me out of trouble? Like, what do you think?" And when he would tell you, and you were on the ass end of a vote, and he would say, "I want you to know I appreciated that. You represented me." And he didn't have that relationship with a lot of people, but when Sam Thomas gave you a compliment, it meant more than it did from about anybody else.
Yeah, trust me, I get that.
tell me this. So, highlight real quickly a handful of your clients and some of the projects that you're really, really proud of, and some of the things that you've been able to bring forward that really impact what people do on a, on a daily or weekly basis, and they would never know your name.
The most forward facing one is, I represent a telecom company that's involved in broadband. Certainly they've done some great things over the past several years. They were big players in the
you can say their name.
Yeah, Windstream Communications. But they were big players in the last round of grants that came from the Office of Planning and Budget. They're about to start round two, and they focus on four rural areas. This is, the margins that they're seeking to, light up right now. That's where Windstream lives anyway, so it's really a tailor fit for them. I work with them in the Public Service Commission as well through regulation. They're just a solid company that has gone through a lot of change in the past 3-4 years, and I felt like it's just been a great fit, and we've been able to grow together. Another technology company I work with is Cisco. The work that Cisco is a platinum brand. They do incredible work.
They're the Coca-Cola of technology, been around for a long time.
And they, it's great to be able to work with them and see them change during COVID, during the pandemic, the things that they had to do to, not just in Georgia, but nationally, to help with, teleworking, with working from home, from kids, doing things.
Remote learning. Yeah,
exactly. It was just incredible. And also just, we're turning the World Congress Center into a hospital, and we need a bunch of servers down here now. And those guys just, boom, they do it. They're just an incredible company. There's a couple of mental health, groups that I work with, one on the hospital side, one on the treatment side, able to help them with what they do. It's just great, like I said, to be able to kind of go from one to the next, and help with all those things. So we're very, very blessed to have such a great roster of clients.
I will close here, and I did not know until you dropped that on me that you ran a super PAC in Georgia for John Kasich.
Yes.
How did you get to meet his team? And what was that like? Because if you asked me 5 years later if he should have been the president, I definitely sit in the not 30% of Republicans who will vote for Donald Trump no matter what. Like, I'm kind of like, I would want that one back. And I really liked him. And I was really grateful that he hung in there the entire way, even if he knew that it was going to be a futile effort. But talk to me about how you get linked into doing that and the team you'd put around you.
Just the network in Georgia. John Watson was involved with him, you know, at the ground level. And when they were coming to Georgia, they decided to put some resources here. He reached out to me, said, hey, do you have the bandwidth or the desire to do this? And I said, yes. And and then met with another one of their, you know, a staffer who'd been in New Hampshire before that. And it was just, you know, went from there. So it was a great, it was fast, but that's what politics is. It moves very, very quickly. And I look back at it as a very worthwhile use of my time.
Let's assume that Georgia is turning more blue. Let's assume for a few minutes that it's a purple place with competitive elections statewide. How do you think a second term of Governor Kemp would look different than the first?
You know, I think that the easiest way to put that is hopefully there won't be another pandemic that kind of dictates, you know, so much of what you're doing.
Playing defense.
Yeah, that, you know, I think that he is set for an incredible economy. You know, Governor Deal had an incredible jobs record that I thought was kind of unassailable. Nobody will touch that. And then, you know, the past 4 years, what we've had under Kemp and what he's been able to build on
under adverse circumstances.
Oh yeah. It's you know, I think you're going to see, you know, a Governor Kemp who is more able to focus on growing those good things and not have to deal with a pandemic. And I think that's the easiest way to put it. But you know, I think that he is an incredible administrator. He's built incredible teams. You know, we have a lot of things technology-wise that they're changing in Georgia just because, you know, we're not stuck in the old ways of doing things. You know, we're in the cloud, we're doing things, you know, virtually, and those are things that he's always been very focused on. The forward-facing pieces of government, you know, who do you interact with? Well, probably Department of Revenue that we always do. How do you get your driver's license? How do you register to vote? Things like that that he was focused on before. You know, he's always asking, what are the call times for the call center? You know, what is the abandonment rate? He knows these things. What's going on with an app? Can you just renew your driver's license with an app now? Those are the things that he thinks about all the time. It's how you know, not ideological egghead things that, like, here's a white paper for how I want to do things and grow our economy. How do I make it easier for you, who's a school teacher, who doesn't have an extra hour and a half to renew your license, to get that done? That's, you know, I think you'll see more of that.
And I'm grateful he's not a lawyer.
Oh, gosh, yeah. It was funny. You know, one story that he tells is the first day as Secretary of State, he had met with his staff and said, you know, I don't understand why we have so many lawyers here. I've you know, been in private business a long time, and I've never been sued. They told him that day, well, congratulations, Mr. Secretary, you've been sued today in your official capacity as Secretary of State. So, he, you know, I'll tell you what, he has a good group of lawyers around him, too. David Dove is a great lawyer. That's his top guy. He, you know, that's another old-time Kemp team member.
Well, Jared Thomas, thank you for joining me today. This has been another episode of the Ben Burnett Show. We will see you next week, everybody. Thanks to my friends at Solomon Brothers. You can find them at 17th Floor Tower Place in Buckhead or at Liberty Park Village off Old Milton Parkway in Alpharetta.
Make the most out of your daily commute or next road trip in a new Audi from Audi Atlanta. And what better way to do it than behind the wheel of a stylish Audi A5 Sportback? Hey, it's Finn, along with my friends at Audi Atlanta, here to introduce this city to the Audi A5 Sportback. With a versatile and athletic design, the beauty lies within, combining the sleekness of a coupe with the practicality of a four-door hatchback. And right now, you can lease the Audi A5 Sportback for $537 per month. Find yours at AudiAtlanta.com. And use visit the Jim Ellis Expressway to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop in person on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Experience the thrill of driving like never before at Audi Atlanta. Offer applies to a 36-month lease, 2024 Audi A5 Sportback 40, $537 per month, 10,000 miles per year, with $4731 due at signing. Example stock number A25954, MSRP $49,905, excludes tax, tag, and title fees. Offer expires 5/31/24 with approved credit.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Camp Margaritaville RV Resort, where you can just breathe in and breathe out. Or move. There's biking, boating, arcade games, hiking, nearby golfing. Or fly through the new Fins Up Water Park. Thrills, chills, twists, and turns. This could be you. Camp Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy 1 hour drive from Atlanta. Book your stay today at CampMargaritavilleLanierIslands.com.